you were not in alignment with the way you were coaching clients. Like, you had a different set of rules for Christina and then another set of rules that were likely a lot more realistic for your clients. So I want to know, what stories were you telling yourself at that time that you felt like you couldn't give yourself permission to essentially coach yourself the way you were coaching your clients?
Like, it is so painful to think back to like that time. I would only get clients who wanted to be lean. I was getting clients that are just like, well, I need to lose like 15 pounds in like 2 months. And I'm just like, we are not very healthy. Like, we need to address that first. But like, they wouldn't hear it. So like, you're just getting clients that also just aren't aligned. And that is extremely frustrating as a business owner.
Frustrating.
Oh God, it's like really hard when you're just like, okay, like what is going on here? And you're like, you know, you have to sit back and think of like, why am I attracting clients like this? Like, why is this going on? And you're like, Taylor Swift answered for it. It's me, I'm the problem. So, I mean, it had to start with me.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
What's up, Fix listeners? Welcome back to our latest episode of The Fix Podcast, episode 101. If you're new here, welcome to the show. My name is Krista Huber, and I'm honored that however you landed to this podcast episode, whether somebody sent it to you, whether you found it on social media, browsing different podcasts, so happy to have you here and excited for you to learn something today. Now, this episode and this very special guest that I'm about to introduce is one for all the moms out there. No matter where you are in your journey as a mom, whether you have small children, older children, you're a mom-to-be, you're thinking about starting your fertility journey, there is something in this conversation for you. And that is with my very good friend, Dr. Christina Jarling. Christina is a, we'll call her former physical therapist or a physical therapist by trade. She's now formally an online coach who, as you'll hear throughout this conversation, says she is the person in your life, the coach in your life, who cares more about you as a mom than baby. And I think that's really, really important because so much of what we talk about, and you'll hear throughout our conversation, the culture around postpartum and your experience as a new mom is so focused on how's the baby doing? How's the baby doing? And of course, you just brought this amazing, beautiful new life into the world, and every bit of energy that you have is focused on becoming the best mom that you can be. But in order to do that, we have to worry about you. So if you have at any point felt like you're struggling a bit with how to identify as a new mom and how your life is going to change as a new mom, this is an episode that will 100% resonate with you. Something that we really, really focus on here is not being afraid to ask for help. We talked about how to communicate with your partner, and Christina was really real and open and raw and authentic and honest, all the things that I love so much about her. She got right into it and talked a lot about her own experiences. Now, as a second-time mom, her birthing experiences, something she was dealing with in her personal life throughout both of her pregnancies, as well as what her fitness journey looked like and how it's really evolved from baby one to baby number two. We talked about some fun go-to recipes that she has, how she kind of plans out her day, what some of her non-negotiables are around her fitness routine, and it was just a really fun but eye-opening and very supportive conversation. So I think you guys are going to get a ton out of this one. And maybe if you aren't personally a mom, send it to somebody who could really benefit from this episode. But with that, let's welcome Christina on to the Fix Podcast. Christina, welcome to the Fix Podcast. I am so happy to have you here. We have been planning this for probably like a year, right? So long overdue conversation, so much for us to get into. But before we do, kicking off the show on a fun note, I have to know, as a mom of two boys, what is your go-to coffee order? Because I'm sure you need your caffeine throughout the day.
Let me tell you about my bougie bitch shit that I do. So first off, I like to make my own coffee because no one can make it the way I want it. Like, obviously. So mommy does her espresso shot. It used to be a double, but like caffeine makes me a little crazy, already crazy enough. a lot of ice. That's mainly why I make my own coffee, because nothing is worse than going to get an iced coffee and there's like four ice cubes at the top.
I hate that. I love a ton of ice. So I'm with you, girl.
Sometimes I'm like, more please. If I have time, it depends on who's screaming in the back of the car. So all the ice, we're going to put some almond cashew milk on top, and then we're going to put way too much creamer, Chobani, vanilla. That's it. That's the coffee. And I need my glass straw. Like,
nice. I love it. I love those Chobani creamers. They're so good.
Obsessed. The vanilla, the sweet cream is too much, but it's like a heavy pour of the vanilla.
Yeah. Delicious. I approve. Fix approved. Love it.
I'm glad. Cool. I knew you would.
Yeah. Well, now that we have addressed that and know that we're on the same page there, I want to get right into this. And there are obviously a lot of ways that we can take this entire episode, because you've had a very interesting fitness career, but have also really evolved, I think, in the last 3 years. And at the time that we met, like, you were in the height of a big transition in your relationship to fitness, to being a mom. We're a mom of one at the time. So I want to get into a lot of it and kind of unpack all that, but I'm going to let you take the lead. So to do that, I want to know, share with the Fix listeners so that they can get to know you as well as I am lucky to know you. Who is Christina Jarling? But more specifically, why should we care about what you have to say in this episode?
Oh my God. I'm so excited to answer this. So I am a mom of two. I'm a former physical therapist, and I am passionate as fuck about postpartum. I like to talk about the dark shit. I like to talk about the real shit. You are not going to get this like Instagram version of everything being clean and light and so happy. Like, I'm going to get down in the trench with you. I'm going to be honest. I am going to piss a lot of people off about what I had to say. I speak from my personal experience. I speak from my client experience. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, I am that mom that cares, and coach that cares more about you as a mom than your baby. And that's why we need to open these conversations, because we make people, we raise people, we have to take care of the moms. And right now we are doing a shit job of it. Doctors are doing a shit job of it. The healthcare system's doing a shit job of it. What we're seeing on the internet is like these perfect routines from influencers who have tons of support. And that is the exception, not the rule. We're not getting out there and really putting out what we can that's going to support moms. And so that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm a coach. And that's why I will never shut the fuck up about postpartum. So you're going to hear it whether you like it or not. I mean, you can block me or unfollow me. That's the only way you're not going to hear it.
I love it. And this actually is such great timing, because a couple months ago, I had a friend come on the show, a fellow friend from college, and she's also a nutrition coach and a trainer, and she was in the midst of her first pregnancy. So we did an episode all about fitness and how her fitness changed throughout her pregnancy and her nutrition. So this is kind of like the follow-up to that, in the sense of, okay, well, what do we do after? Like, what, how does life look different? And at the time of us recording this, she just had her baby like maybe 2-3 weeks ago. So this is kind of a cool follow-up for that. And I think you will be a great resource for her too. So Katie, if you're out there listening to this, I definitely have you in mind throughout this chat. But I absolutely love the fact that you are just so blunt and honest, because I think that what you said about the one thing that just really stood out to me in everything you just said was how you worded the fact that you as a coach are there to remind moms that you care about them more than baby, right? And that is so overlooked. Even as your child continues to grow, like a lot of the women that we work with inside of the Fitness Fix program, age ranges of kids are anywhere from toddlers to parents with kids in high school and even college. And there is such a societal issue of, well, let me just put my mom hat on all of the time and only worry about my kids to the point where I put myself on the back burner. And we have to change that dialogue, and we have to change that conversation.
Yeah. The modern motherhood expectation is absolutely fucking retarded. Like, We cannot keep surviving where we are. The burnout rates are insane. Moms with like insane hormone balances, fertility issues are like through the roof. And like, for some reason, we're all just sitting back here like, I wonder why this is happening. It's like, because you bitches are not taking care of yourself. And we're just always concerned about what's happening with our children, which you can't be the best mom and take care of your children unless you are taking care of yourself. And like, newsflash, they're watching everything you're doing. So right. Like, you're not helping them out by only putting them first.
So like, tell us a little bit more about how you got here. There's so many things that we can go over, and depending on what you want to share, and I know you're an open book, but you know, at the time that you and I met, you were actually in the midst of dealing with a lot of hormonal issues and challenges with your own fertility. And lot of that had to do with your own experience with fitness, competitions. Like, I don't know if that's where you want to start, but kind of take us back and walk us through to how you now develop the mindset that you have today and share with your clients too.
Yeah, let's go. We'll go through the cliff notes of where it all began. So I was a high level athlete when I got pregnant with my first. I was a CrossFitter. I lived at the gym, 2-hour training sessions. I was deep in my physical therapy game. That's when I was still a clinical physical therapist. And I got pregnant and I had the easiest, fittest pregnancy. It was like this beautiful thing. And I had the most god awful postpartum. I ended up having an unplanned C-section. I knew nothing about birth. I had a baby and didn't have any idea how to take care of myself. No one talked about postpartum. None of my friends told me how awful this would be. And I still kind of don't forgive them for that. I'm like, all of y'all had kids before me. Why didn't you tell me that my life was going to be very challenging after this? And not in a bad way, just a different way to like prepare you. Like,
sure.
No one likes to get hit by a, you know, like, what is it? Hit on the side. My mom brain can't think right now. Blindsided.
There you
go. Thank you. Nobody likes to get blindsided. And I was smart enough that I'm a physical therapist. I knew how to rehab my body. And I did that. But I also used the internet as my metric of how to get back in shape after a baby. And being an elite athlete, that's all I knew, was to go hard in the gym. And that's what made me feel good. That was the only way I dealt with whatever postpartum depression I was having that I didn't really have awareness on. No one ever asked me if I was stressed or depressed or anything was okay. They just, you know, saw me at 6 weeks and said, okay, fine. I went back to work. I went back to the gym and I suffered a lot. It was horrible. I suffered so much in silence that I didn't even realize at that time. I was so sleep deprived. All I did was go to the gym. I focused on losing the baby weight because that's what I saw on the internet, was moms with their baby carriers next to them doing dumbbell curls like 2 days after having labor. And I was like, oh, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I did that. People clap for you. They're like, oh my God, you got back in shape. That's so great. And they praise you and they praise you. And mind you, the whole time I'm like, something is wrong. Something is very wrong. And I was breastfeeding. I thought everything was okay because I was breastfeeding and losing weight and everyone was like, oh, well, your milk supply is there, so you're good. Mind you, I never got my period back. So now we're a year post-baby and I'm like, something is wrong with me. And I wasn't getting answers from the medical field. They were just trying to put me on birth control. And at this point, I decided to compete in a bikini competition. I had a really hard time going back to CrossFit and I needed something as aggressive and extreme because that's how I dealt with my feelings, because, you know, I'm an adult and I don't know how to deal with my feelings. And so like that's what I did don't. I started competing, and that was the worst thing I could ever do, is compete a year after having a baby. And of course, everyone's clapping for you. They think you're doing so great. And that was like the nail in my coffin that sealed my fertility issues for the foreseeable next 3 years. And I would go to the doctor and I'd be like, I still don't have a period. And they're like, well, you have to gain weight. You have to exercise less. And I'm, you know, then there was like no oversight there. My coaches in the competing world never asked about my cycle, never really cared about my internal health. So I was like, well, why would I care? You know? And everyone still is like, oh my God, you're doing so great. Like, can you help me lose weight after a baby? And that's about the point that I crossed over from being a physical therapist to almost like this postpartum fitness world.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because when I was working with clients, there were things that I was doing that I would never let my clients do. Like I was in such a place of how my actions were not reflective of what the value in the things that I would do for my clients. I was like, no, you can't lose weight that fast. You can't be that aggressive. It's going to take a little bit longer. And it was like this just like dysfunctional thinking in my head. And it eventually all burned to the ground 3 years into competing when I went into just complete adrenal burnout. I was so sick one day, I couldn't get out of bed. I think that was a few weeks after my very last national show in 2019. And at that point, I decided to burn everything to the ground. I refused to be a diet coach anymore. I was like, what I'm doing is wrong. Everything I'm doing is wrong. I'm burning it all down and starting over. And that is kind of like where this rebirth of focusing on postpartum health went. So through my like own personal hormone recovery, which was a complete dumpster fire also, because I think we both know that I treated my hormone recovery the same way that I treated a fitness journey. And I was going to be perfect and I was going to do all the things. And every time my labs came back worse, I just wanted to scream. Because the problem wasn't that I wasn't doing the things. The problem was I just wasn't taking care of myself mentally. And that was really hard. And that's why I talk so much about mental health. Like that is one of the biggest focuses in all of my programs, whether it's talking about core, whether it's talking about diet, is helping moms through the mental load of motherhood and just all of the things that are so challenging for us to take care of ourselves. And when you and I met, I had finally just had it with myself. Like there's just a point where you get sick of your own shit.
Yeah.
And you're just right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually where not only our businesses turn, but everything turns, right? Like I had just gotten back my second Dutch test after putting in all of this work and taking all of these supplements and spending all of this money on like high level functional coaching, and nothing had got better. Things had actually got worse. And there was this voice inside of my head that was like, burn it all down, throw it all away. So I told my coach, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like I'm out. I really pushed myself to do better in therapy. I threw all of my supplements into the trash. I went back to the gym. And I got pregnant. And that was probably the most important lesson that I learned as a coach. And it really taught me to sit back, read my clients, and listen to my clients, and not focus so much on the A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Like, what is really going on here? What's really the underlying issue? Where is this mom really struggling? Like, where do I need to call her out on? So that's why I say I'm that mom that cares more about moms than babies, because like, it's the really deep, dark stuff that you have to address with moms. And like, nobody wants to say it. Like nobody really wants to go there with them.
No one wants to say it. To your point of how we opened a lot of this up and you saying like your postpartum experience, none of your friends warned you. And have you talked to them about that since? Like now that you've been through it twice and it's several years removed from the very first time? Like, have you guys had conversations about that? Like, I really wonder, like, because I hear that from friends all the time. It's like, mm-hmm. you can read all the things and, you know, get these different books, watch different videos, whatever. But even down to like, when once you give birth, nobody lets you know about the mesh underwear that you're going to be wearing in the hospital.
They're diapers. The disposable underwear are fire. Yes. We love them. Oh my God. But I honestly think like my group of friends is so different now from like where I was. And I think that speaks a lot to just like my personal growth as a person, as an entrepreneur. And like my best friend Amber is like my everything. Like, I don't ever have to hold anything back from her. I can be completely honest with her. She is like, she gets it. Like, she will get there in the trench with me and get in the dark space. And like, that is everything to me. Like, you just need that one friend. You Truly. Don't need the whole group. Is just moms just still aren't ready to talk about it. Like, we still just like glamorize pregnancy and like we make jokes about the diapers and stuff like that. But it's like the really dark shit that we like suffer with mentally after having a baby, whether it's body image, whether it's postpartum depression. And it's just, it's a lot. It is a lot. And I mean, I think that whole experience and then going through such a hard pregnancy, I mean, I always laugh about when you and I met. Have you seen Fight Club?
Yes.
Okay. We met at a very weird time in my life.
You had a lot of shit going on, but like, you were literally, what was that, 2021 or 2020? I think 2021. It was 2021. You were in Nashville. We had the best time. But from what you're saying now, everything you just said about letting go, I think you were on the cusp of it. Like, you were so close mm-hmm. to realizing like that maybe you just needed to like take a total step back, like you said, and just be like, I have put in this effort. Like, I'm trying. And is there a degree to which you can try too hard? I 100% think so. I just did a group coaching conversation with my clients about this not even a week ago because I saw this awesome post on Instagram from another nutrition coach, and he said nobody that he works with, and I think this speaks to moms as a population especially, nobody is not trying hard enough. Like, none of this inability to lose weight is for a lack of trying. A lot of it is a fear of asking for help and looking for ways to make things more efficient. And he gave examples down to like, you know, having a babysitter, carpooling with other people, like approaching meal prep by asking your partner, hey, can you help me with this? And I find with so many clients, a lot of them will joke to me sometimes like, oh, like, why are we talking about my relationship? Like, you're not my therapist. I'm like, actually, this is super important because if you're sharing a lot of meals with other people in your house, we need to talk about what this dynamic looks like because it's going to make your life better and it's going to make your life easier.
Mm-hmm. With moms, like, we information dump them so hard. They don't need more information. They need support. They need to be told to go order some meals that are going to be delivered to their house. Mm-hmm. I tell them, I'm like, go put up a post on Instagram and talk about how you are fucking drowning. Somebody will show up with a meal on your door. You will receive a DoorDash, you know, gift card. Like, scream for help. Like, that is what you need. You don't need me to be like, this is what you need to eat today. No, you need support. And we've just like, we just try to tell moms like, oh, this is what you should do. This is what I should do. And I sit there and I'm like, this is how you need to ask for help. And you need to go do it. And then you need to tell me that you checked that box.
Yeah. And I want to go back to one thing you mentioned on that note about the first time you kind of realized you needed to make a transition in the way you were coaching and change your business, because you mentioned that you were not in alignment with the way you were coaching clients. Like, you had a different set of rules for Christina and then another set of rules that were likely a lot more realistic for your clients. So I want to know, what stories were you telling yourself at that time that you felt like you couldn't give yourself permission to essentially coach yourself the way you were coaching your clients?
Well, I mean, my business was very successful at that point. Like, I had a lot of clients. I was doing really well. And I wouldn't listen to anything that was going on in my head. I was essentially hiding and bodybuilding. It was just like a very, oh my God, like, it is so painful to think back to like that time and just how horrible it was and how I felt. And how much I just hated myself and my business. Like, that was just like, I have officially hit rock bottom. Like, that's what that felt like. And I was like, this has to change. And like, the only way it's going to change is if I literally just rip it. Like, I was essentially a diet coach at that point. Like, I would only get clients who wanted to be lean. I was getting clients that are just like, well, I need to lose like 15 pounds in like 2 months. And I'm just like, we are not very healthy. Like, we need to address that first, but like, they wouldn't hear it. So like, you're just getting clients that also just aren't aligned. And that is extremely frustrating as a business owner.
Frustrating.
Oh God. It's like really hard when you're just like, okay, like what is going on here? And you're like, you know, you have to sit back and think of like, why am I attracting clients like this? Like, why is this going on? And you're like, Taylor Swift answered for it. It's me. I'm the problem. So, I mean, it had to start with me. At that point, like, I remember just completely giving up dieting. I spoke about it. I was scared as fuck. Like I said, I was in the tank so bad at this point. Like, my adrenals were so bad. Like, that's rebounded horribly. That's when my face was swollen. Like I said, it wasn't even the point of just like, I gained 20 pounds like overnight. Like, I was like clinically sick. Like, I was going to like doctor's appointments every week. Of course, no one's giving me answers or anything useful. They're just like, oh, your thyroid's exploding. And I'm like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. How am I going to fix this? And yeah, I mean, that's where it came from. Just like that rock bottom. Like, sometimes you just got to hit bottom.
You also said that, you know, you talked about losing your period and not getting it back for a while. But what were some other things that you were ignoring? Like, when you kept saying like you tried to get back into CrossFit and you said mentally you were ignoring certain thoughts. Like, what was that for you?
At that point in my life, I would bury those thoughts so deep in training that like I would never hear them anyway. I competed in a CrossFit competition 4 months after I had a C-section.
I remember you telling me
that.
What
kind of psycho does that? Like, but you know what? I saw someone else in my CrossFit gym do it, so that's why I did it. And, you know, I would just ignore everything that I would tell myself. Like, I mean, after that CrossFit competition, my back hurt like so bad. And I'm like, you idiot. Like, you're overtraining. Like, you push it too hard. Like, you know better.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like, no, it's fine. Like, at that point in my life, I was not nice to myself. I was not kind to myself. My entire life has been built on overachievement. Like, I don't listen to how I feel. No one cares how you feel. Like, you know, when you grow up with like emotionally unavailable parents, like, that's just who you are.
Yeah.
So I laugh about it, but it's not funny. So like, there was no listening to any of the voices inside my head. Like, they were silence. Like, nobody cares. No one cares about you, Christina. No one cares that you sleep 5 hours a night and then you have to go to work full time and financially support your family. And you have a six-month-old, like, it just wasn't even a thought. It was just like, you wake up and you do and you go. Like, that's where we are.
Let's shift that over to your partnership. I know you have an amazing husband, and I know he is also a very high achieving person too. So at the time when you started feeling this way, like, what was the dynamic like in your relationship? Could you even bring yourself to have some of these conversations with him about how you were feeling?
Oh my God. Jordan was like, pull the fucking plug on competing. He's like, you cannot go anymore. I mean, he would see me like laying on the floor by like 6 PM and I'm just like, I'm fine. I just need a minute. And he's just like, Christina, like, but he knows, like, I don't listen. Like, he knows. Like, Jordan is the most supportive. I married a passive person who can just deal with my shit for a reason. Like, he was put on this earth for me because he's just like, this bitch is going to have to learn her lesson. Like, and I'm just going to have to watch this. Like, he'll talk more about it now. And like, he's really good. He's a very good listener. And it's great because he's such a logical person. Like, you know, it's great. He's not emotional. Like, he's just very logical. So he's just like, I can't really like emotionally upset him. It's great. He's just very calm. And it's just like, okay, well, you know, but you know, Jordan was concerned. Like, he was very concerned, but he also like didn't know like how deep it went because
sure. It was his first child too. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't know, even like, we can't leave the guys out of this conversation, right? Like, they don't have a handbook either.
So I actually coach a lot of moms on how to have their partners help. And it's interesting because of my you know, twerk Tina population. I do get dads like popping in my inbox sometimes about like, ha, my wife, we're having a baby. Like, any advice? And I'm like, yes.
I love that though. Hey, if twerk Tina is the reason, we got to give the listeners the context for twerk Tina. So I'll make sure we link some twerk Tina content in the show notes for sure.
Yes, I'm pioneering the moms at twerk movement. We'll talk about that next podcast. But like, I didn't know how to ask for help from Jordan. And that's what's so hard. And they don't talk about that is, you know, when your baby is a year old, like that infancy, they want mom. Like, they don't want dad. And like, I had an exclusive breastfed baby. Like, there were even times that like I tried to pump so Jordan can get up and give him a bottle. Sure. But Jordan couldn't get the baby back to sleep. Like, it was just like such a disaster. Like, I was just like, he could not support me in those ways. And I didn't know how to ask him for help to support in like other ways. Sure. So I mean, I did what I usually did. I just compartmentalized all of it and just shoved it down. It's just, you know, it's so like, okay, this
give
is
us
where
more
we are.
Tactical suggestions that you share with your clients or even things you've done differently now with your second child.
Yeah. So communication is everything. And sometimes just telling them simply how you feel, oh God, it can just feel so good to be like, you know what really pisses me off is like you get to sleep and I'm up running around with these loonies in the middle of the night. I don't like you. Sometimes just simply like putting that out there and just brutal honesty is so good. The other thing is you need to be like, look, I know that it's hard for you to watch the baby right now, but like you need to suck it up and put that baby in a stroller and go for a walk and get out of the house so I can take a nap. Like, and you just have to be brutally honest of like, this is what I need you to do. And a lot of times, like, we're so vulnerable. Like, we don't want to like go there and just be like, look, you have to do this. Like, I need you to do this. My mental health depends on this. I need you to cook dinner tonight. I need you to clean the kitchen. I need you to go clear out that sink of bottles and the milk. I need you to do the laundry. Like, whatever, like, that task is for the day that you're overwhelming yourself with that you just can't handle. Some of it you got to let go, right? Like if you have a newborn, your house is going to be a disaster. But just telling them like exactly what you need is so important because they don't understand how we feel. Like they have no idea. And like I even have some clients who, you know, a lot of our husbands are, you know, Jordan's a consultant. He's working all the time. He travels. And just letting him know like when you're gone and I have to carry the whole load, it's hard. And like understanding that and them having that like understanding conversation with you, and then they can kind of see where they can pick up the slack versus you spelling everything out too. Because sometimes it just gets really annoying when you're like, I specifically need you to do this. I specifically, you get tired of telling everybody what to do all the time.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. But like easy things like, hey, I don't want to cook dinner tonight. You need to go pick up dinner and like, don't ask me what to pick up. Just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go do it. And just treat me like a queen. Like bring me snacks to my bed. Fill up my water tumbler without me asking. It's like those little bitty things just matter so much. Like focus on taking care of me. Then I can take care of the baby. And Jordan did much better with it this time. I will admit that. Having a baby in the middle of tax season wasn't the best thing, but I did ask for help when I needed. I mean, after my subsequent C-section, like, girl, I literally was like bedridden for weeks. Like, it took me, like, I had to tell Jordan, I'm like, you're going to have to leave work early so you can, or I think my mom would help me pick up Jackson, but like, I couldn't walk to Jackson's school to get him. Like, I could barely walk to the mailbox. I was like, you have to walk Jackson in the morning. Like, it's just something that you have to do. Like, I cannot get out of bed and walk him. Like, I can't stand up that long. Like, that's where we are.
Now, you said that having we touched on it really briefly, like, you know, your fertility journey the second time around, but then also having a difficult pregnancy. What was that like for you? Let's stick on the mental health piece. What was that like for you having had a really relatively easy one the first time around? Like, how'd that make you feel? I mean, I'm sure you were very happy to be pregnant, like, because it was a long road.
Yeah. So I feel like we have to give background here on why my pregnancy was, it wasn't physically hard. My father was paralyzed in a absolute freak surgical complication. And I found out I was pregnant a few weeks after that. So I had to tell him I was pregnant coming to his, I think he was in neuro rehab at that point. And he was about to come home and live with me because I am that person that takes care of everyone. My parents have been divorced for a long time. So I found myself pregnant after, you know, a very long fertility battle. And now I also had a new child who was 69 years old and paralyzed from the neck down and dealing with that and the absolute shit show that the medical system is with supporting that. And I now became a 24/7 nurse. So that was absolutely brutal. I didn't want to tell people I was pregnant. It came with all of the just insane logistics of how that was handled and how our family had to respond. It's
all consuming.
And it was horrible. I honestly have blocked out the majority of my pregnancy. Like, if there was a control alt delete button for my brain, I would do that. But just like the emotional taxing of that was horrible. I was very fearful of my entire pregnancy that I was going to lose this baby because my stress level was so insanely high. You know, I would wake up in the middle of the night to my dad screaming for help. I was taking him to the emergency room every 2 weeks. I was battling doctors, insurance companies, caregivers that were in and out of my home. Finally having to move him to a facility because I couldn't handle caring for him at the point in my pregnancy. I mean, mind you, like I said, he was completely paralyzed. And I mean, to move him from his bed to his wheelchair, even though I had an electric lift, requires a lot of physical strength.
Of course.
And the fear was if something happened to me or the baby, nobody would be able to take care of him. And then we would be really proper fucked. So, I mean, there was a lot of family trauma. There was a lot of family drama with that between me and my siblings. And so it was just horrible. Like, it, the mental toll took the physical toll on my body more than anything. And just like a lot of fear. So it was, if I can just describe it, it was the most soul crushing experience of my entire life.
And I know you're really open about it. Like, obviously, you and I talked about it a few times, even just back and forth on Instagram. But I know you shared a lot about your experience, even in doing what you could to take care of yourself. I feel like in that time, you were way more open about you going to therapy and talking about that. So I'd love to know how that experience has influenced what your coaching now looks like today with your clients.
I mean, I have a complete different perspective on so many things with pregnancy and how that next pregnancy and things that can happen, especially if someone who's had fertility issues, you have just like this insane fear that something bad is going to happen. You have very intrusive thoughts and how you need to seek support with that. I mean, at my confirmation ultrasound, I was prescribed Prozac that day. And I refused to take it. And I think that was one of the biggest mistakes I made with my pregnancy. And I think that's a really hard conversation to have for any mom because it's scary. There's so much judgment. There's studies that say it's safe, but you still just don't trust yourself.
Sure.
And then at the same time, you're so fearful that something is going to happen because of how much stress and sadness and all of that that you're putting on your pregnancy. And so I take absolutely nothing lightly when it comes to supporting my moms through pregnancy and being savagely honest on what they need for support. And like, I will not hold back. And I always tell my clients, like, I approach things with just complete honesty and I say it with love. And I'm like, you need to think about fill in the blank. And I think it has given me so much power to really just get deep with them. I was like, you are not going to get any surface shit with me. You're not going to get, oh, well, I think you just need to drink some more water. No, bitch, you need to really step back and consider this. And this is why. And I'm going to lay it out for you. And I'm going to support you regardless of what you choose. But you need to make the best decision for you. And that's where we are. You know, when that was, I would say, the biggest mistake I made with my pregnancy is I should have started antidepressants then. I know it would have made things just much easier for me to handle. I mean, I did everything. Like I would go to acupuncture. I go to therapy every week. I did literally every single thing I could to manage my stress while I was pregnant. And I mean, it was horrible. Like I would go into every ultrasound just with like mass amounts of anxiety. And mind you, I wasn't really talking about this. Like even when I would go to therapy, I would hold back. I was like, all of the dark shit, I'm just like shoving it down.
And were you more focused on what you're dealing with your dad because it was right in front of you?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's all I had time for. Like I would spend all day long calling doctors or being, especially when I had to move him to a facility. Oh Jesus fucking Christ. I would have to go up there and yell at those people every fucking day. I'm like, I don't understand why I pay you $12,000 a month for you to not be able to transfer my father in and out of his wheelchair correctly. Like, why do am I constantly up here yelling at you? It was like a full-time job. Even though I was paying people lots of other money to help me with things. And it was just horrible. Like the whole thing was horrible. Like the gym was my only escape. Basically, I was either going to stay in bed and cry all day or I was going to go to the gym. Those were my two choices. And I think I chose the bed the majority of the time, but it was what it was. Like, it's just a horrible experience. There's still a lot that I hide about it. I go back and forth of like how to speak on this because I remember probably the lowest part of my life is like sitting in my car and like typing out like pregnancy and depression and seeing like what popped up. Cause I was just like, am I going to let this secret out of the bag? Like, am I going to say the words out loud? Like, am I going to say this to my therapist actually? Or am I going to keep pretending like I'm doing all the things I can do this week and drinking my water and going to acupuncture and going to the gym and going on a walk? And, you know, there's just only so much you can get out of therapy. Like you can talk about it.
Right.
But like when you're going to actually sit there and be honest with yourself, like that's the only place that's really going to make change. And I think the majority of the time in pregnancy, the things we're struggling with, we don't want to talk about when they're dark because, you know, it's supposed to be the happiest time in your life.
Right.
And at the happiest time in your life, you are just, your soul is being absolutely crushed and you're having to watch the saddest, most frustrating thing in the world while you're fighting with your siblings and being angry at the medical system. And it's just hard. Like, after a pregnancy, you fought so hard to get to. I mean, anyone who's gone through something like that, whether it's losing a family member, I mean, losing a husband or just, you know, absolutely tragic fucking shit that can happen in your life at the same time as you're pregnant or postpartum, you know, that's so like, I'll get in that trench with you. Like, we're going to talk about it. And like I said, silver lining, like I can sit there through the most horrible birth stories with my clients and just hold space for them. And those people come into my life, like they find me on the internet. They're like, this bitch knows about dark shit and she can help me.
Yeah, going
out.
Back to what we said before about attracting certain clients, like that, that should make you feel like I just want to acknowledge you for leaning into that because so many people won't. And I'm sure now, and I want to know this from you instead of just making the assumption, I want to hear it from you. Like, how much more fulfillment do you get out of serving the clients that you work with today versus, and it's not to say like those other people when you were more of like a true fat loss coach, mm-hmm. that, like, I respect anybody trying to lose body fat. I do that with my clients too. But the ones who come to me and they're just like, well, this needs to be done on this timeline and it needs to happen, I kind of say to them preemptively, one, I don't know that I'm the girl for you for this. But two, if that's the attitude, it's not happening. Because there's some shit we got to work through first.
Yeah. Get out your shovel and let's dig, bitch. So, like, they light my world on fire. Like, when I get to just sit with these people and hold space with them, I'm like, this is why I was put on this fucking planet. Like, this is my life's work. This, finally, I have found my place in the world. Talking about dark shit in pregnancy and postpartum. I'm kidding. It's about making moms whole again. That's really what it is. Like, I am going to help. I'm not going to put you back together. I'm going to leave you better than I found you. That's what I'm going to do. So you can thrive, so you can move forward, so you can lose weight, so you can feel like a hot bitch on date night, so you can shake your ass at moms that twerk class, like whatever it is. Like, we're going to do it, bitch. Let's go. Get in. And yeah, I mean, I think I'm not one of those people that's like everything happens for a reason. But whatever shit happened to you, like, you're now responsible for holding that and doing something with it.
Yeah. I think that's really great distinction to think about it that way. Because sometimes I'm like, I know that we have this in common about our personalities. Like, I like caveat a lot of the more woo-woo stuff, even though I know it's legit. But I'll be like, I'm too pragmatic for this. And I agree with what you just said, right? Like, it's taking responsibility for the fact that you've been through something and there's probably somebody else out there who is going through some kind of similar parallel experience, whatever it is, that the feelings that you had that you were like really keeping deep inside. Like, for me personally, that's when I figured out, when I started to talk about that stuff. Yeah, it was therapeutic for me too. But that's when I really started to figure out that there was so much more to my own fitness and nutrition than just fucking tracking a macro, right? Like, that's a tool. It'll get you somewhere. But it took me having to throw it away, like you said, and just be like, we're in the middle of COVID. I canceled my wedding. I broke off my engagement, like did all these things. And I'm like, who gives a shit about even working out? Like, I didn't. And I have to be real with clients because they can have such a better ability to connect with you, because like so many coaches don't remember the fact that like not everybody likes working out like to the degree that you do. I don't even love working out all the time. Like, I spend so much time at the gym working, I gotta will myself to get in there sometimes. And I think that authenticity, like, we just need to keep hammering that point home, because that's what's actually gonna help people get better results and be able to see that this is not like bullshit for us to say that you can make this a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, there's just so much more to life than a macro. But we fucking love macros.
Right.
And they work. They work. But, like, you really gotta peel back those layers, bitch, because, like, it's not about the macro. Oh, my God. I love when people hire me as a macro coach. Anna, I'm calling you out right now. Like, Anna's like, I just need you to tell me what macros are about. And I'm just like, I'll tell you that. Come on. Just get in my tree.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just so funny because, like, you know, I have just like blown her world apart on like how to hack postpartum for the best health. I mean, she loves to work out. And I'm like, bitch, you can't eat like this and work out like this. Like, we're going to get there, but like, you got to eat. Then I'm going to cut you and it's going to be quick, fast. We're going to be in and out. It's going to fall off. And then you can go back to like kickboxing and running and doing all the shit that you love to do. Yeah, I love when they hire you to be a macro coach and then they're like, oh
my God. Yeah, we're going to, like, the best review I can get from a client is when they're like, I got so much more out of this and that. And I was like, that was the plan.
Yes, that's how we do things around here. And yeah, I mean, that's why, God, there's just like, there's so many layers to postpartum. And like, I've been through on both sides. Like, I've had the healthy, fit, perfect pregnancy. I had the really easy body come back together after this. I've been through C-sections. I've been through an absolutely fucking horrible failed VBAC. And like, I talk about that a lot, in C-section recovery and going through another C-section absolutely blew my fucking mind because I was so angry at how I was like, I had a C-section 6 years ago and you fuckers are still not doing anything different for us to heal and recover, to educate moms. Like I'm hearing about like C-section incisions dehiscing. Moms are still walking around having pain with sex and pain with their C-section scars. And I'm just like, man, y'all are just fucking this up and I'm gonna fix it now because now you pissed me off and you cut another one out of me. So let's go. Yeah. And I mean, I was angry about that for a long time. I mean, as bad as my pregnancy was, I think my postpartum this time was like way worse than that just soul crushing experience of my pregnancy.
Did you at least feel like you had the ability to recognize it better though?
No. I remember, I guess it was, Jordan went back to work at 2 weeks. And so I think we're almost in April. So it was about 2 months in. I think I was avoiding my therapist at this time because she's like, you know, I kind of had to tell her everything that happened, like with my birth experience, which was awful. I mean, obviously, the last time I was in a hospital, my dad was like dying and I'm unplugging him. So the next time I'm in a hospital, I'm just supposed to give birth and everything's just supposed to be okay.
There's a lot of trauma packed in that.
Yeah, there's just like only so much that's going to work out there. And I was like just crying in dark rooms all day long. Like I would wait till Jordan went to work and then I would just nurse Luca all day and let him sleep on me and just like use him as my hanky until I had to go get Jackson from school. And then I would just like put on a face like everything was normal. And I did this for like months. Like I remember telling Jordan after the fact and I was like, I've been crying in dark rooms for the past 8 weeks. And he's just like, you what? Like, I think he put cameras in the house after that for that reason. He's just like, is this bitch like still doing that? And so I finally came clean to my therapist about it. And she was just like, Christina, you need to start antidepressants. Like you have got to stop fighting me on this. Like you cannot operate from that place. That is very dangerous. This is not healthy. And I was like, fine, I will finally take the Prozac. And so like, it was almost like giving myself permission, like not giving up, but like, I am just like that stubborn and that, it's hard. Like, it's just hard to finally come to that conclusion and accept that help and accept that support. Mm-hmm. Especially after like all I've been through, I'm like, well, the rain is going to stop eventually, right? The storm has to end. And like, it doesn't. Like, you know,
and
the
that's
whole
okay
like,
too, because that's life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's life. And like, eventually you just have to like, be vulnerable and accept it. And, you know, me and Prozac have a very love-hate relationship. And so like that was really hard. That was really hard to finally accept that help. And as soon as I started antidepressants, so much of my world changed. Like I wasn't crying in dark rooms every day. Like I was able to actually operate my life. Like finally there was something that supported me, that didn't require me to go to therapy every day and have to like rehash and talk about like everything that's just like sad and dark, or how much I like wanted to murder my sister as I was planning my father's funeral, you know, after I had a baby, or going through, I went through like a very long probate battle with everything because we didn't have wills in place. Real quick, everyone, go make a will, okay? Don't do that shit. Make sure your parents have wills. Very expensive to go through probate and annoying as fuck. So, I mean, there was just, it was almost annoying how effective and helpful it was for me. And I do talk about antidepressants and I try to talk more honestly about it and, you know, really tell moms how much it helped me and everything that I've been through with it and how much I resisted it. And that's why I talk so much about like, I should have taken them when I was pregnant. Like, it could have helped me so much. Like I'm mad at myself for, I mean, I've forgiven myself now, but like, I'm just like, wow, like why didn't someone tell me it was going to help that much, that I didn't have to feel like so heavy all the time, all day long. And yeah, so postpartum was really hard for me. Like I really struggled with my recovery. It made my C-section recovery absolutely brutal because all of those emotions with everything were literally like trapped in my C-section scar. Like I was just holding on to all of it. I had so much physical therapy after that. I had to go to additional therapy after that. I had Mercier therapy, which was really uncomfortable but needed, and just a fuck ton of therapy for like the next year. And it was hard. And I finally got back to the gym, albeit lots of fear and resistance, because the gym is my place of processing. You know, I can't relate to people who don't love the gym. Like the gym is my pain cave. Like it is where I go into like my space of like, that's why I can't go to group fitness classes, because I just need my music in my ears. And it's like, it is my place to just let out all of the dark shit. I cry, I get angry, I lay on the floor. Sometimes I just like go hard in the paint. Like,
I appreciate you mentioning that distinction, because I got a few clients out there who, after a recent episode, are willing to dip their toe in the water to make the transition away from group fitness because they're fearful, like they've never been in the gym on their own before. And I have one that I'm thinking of who I know will listen to this. And she finally texted me a week ago and was like, I love this now. Like, I just put on my headphones. This is my time and I'm good to go. Yeah. Shut the world out and just process, like you said.
Yeah, it's my place of processing. Like, it is better than Prozac, but I fight it sometimes because I know I'm going to go in the gym and cry. Like, I checked in with Jeff today because I work with Jeff, because he's the only person I trust my body to. And, you know, after all my trauma with anxiety for so long. And, you know, I tell Jeff, I'm like, I'm still crying every day in the gym. Like, I think that's just going to be where I am for a little bit longer. We did wean me off Prozac in January, which I'm still questioning my life choice about that. Oh God, it's so much quieter with support. But that's where I process. Like, that's where I just like everything that happened with my pregnancy and all of that. Like, it's just like a slow release valve that's where it is. That's where it is for me. So yeah, if I love group fitness, I think lots of people really like group fitness, but like, if you just need a process in that dark space, go try a dumbbell girlfriend.
Love it. Well, I want to be respectful of your time, and I'm going to finish this off with a quick little lightning round that I didn't even warn you about, but I think this will be good because I have an idea. I want to keep it like mom themed for all things that like you have figured out in your life when it comes to like fitness or nutrition, meals, like different hacks that have made your life a little bit easier. I know you post lots of good recipes and stuff. So that's what we're going to go with for the theme. You ready?
Oh yeah.
What is food first? What's your go-to dinner when you've just had like a crazy afternoon and a busy day with the boys?
Chicken fried rice.
Oh, nice. I was expecting you to say something Italian.
Baked ziti if I have sauce in the fridge, but like I almost always have everything I need for chicken fried rice. So like I can do a quick pivot and it is like a one pan and done. We're having it tonight, actually.
There you go. Perfect. If you're short on time to get into the gym, what's kind of like your go-to workout split within a week, or even just like if you're like, hey, I only have 30 minutes, like what are you going to?
Ooh, I'm going straight to mobility core work and just ice it on the cake with like 4 minutes of HIIT, like some ball slams or some jump rope.
Nice. If you could only do one movement, like one specific exercise for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Deadlifts.
I knew you were going to say that one.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be, it has to somehow be tied to twerking, and that makes you better at twerking. So
yeah, just, you know, some stiff legs. Or traditional.
We've been talking a lot about lack of information out there. Who are kind of like your top resources or recommendations for other people in this space trying to create the knowledge and share that information that they're bringing to the table, whether that's like another Instagram account you'd recommend to us, a podcast, a book to read, anything like that?
Oh, education in the space. I have to say one of my favorite podcasts is It's Getting Confidential, and I blame you for that because you're the one that introduced me to that. But they just have like such variety, and I just love their approach of like, they're like me. I'm putting it out there, take it or leave it. As far as like health and physique, that one's so hard because I'm so picky. There are a lot of birth accounts I like that are very honest. I would say the Labor Mama is probably one of my favorites because she just comes in with like, and hers is like more of like a personal account versus informational. Cause like I said, I feel like so much of we're trying to shove information at moms when we just need someone to hear us out and just feel us out. And I love her account. After I went through so much of my C-section stuff, a lot of her posts related super, super strong to me. And I was like, God, I just needed to fucking hear that today. As far as health, girl, I feel like I've unfollowed like every single like functional health account.
That's okay.
I'm just like, it's a no. It's a no for me. Oh my God. Who? I would have to say those are like my top two.
Those
like,
are great recommendations.
Yeah, I love some Skinny Confidential. I love some Labor Mama. And then, I mean, Nasty and Ass is always one of my favorite twerk accounts. And like, who's going to get upset about watching someone twerk? So, I mean, watch someone shake their ass and try to tell me you're upset. And then you're like, oh, that's fun. I want to do that. I want to do that. Anyway.
And last but not least, tell everybody two things. One, where can we find you if we want to stay connected to you? And two, if somebody, like, boil it up in, break it down in, like, 10 seconds, if somebody could only have one takeaway from this conversation, what would that be?
One takeaway from this conversation is, mama, you are already fucking hot.
Okay. Love that.
Okay. You're already fucking hot. You can find me at Hot Healthy Mama. P.S. blog is launching next month.
Oh, very exciting.
That's where I'll probably write about all my really dark shit of pre and postpartum depression. And a lot of health tips and recipes, of course. Big ZD one will be up, so you can go get your Italian fix there. And that will be at hothealthymama.com.
Beautiful. Love it. Well, I'm so excited for that. Can't wait to read it. And we will definitely plug it once it comes out on all of the fitness fix related pages. So we're going to let you go. You're amazing. You're definitely going to have to come back on sometime very soon. And I just love you. And I'm so glad that we've gotten the chance to connect. And even just the way we met was like totally serendipitous. We got to shout out our girl, Sonia. Hopefully she'll listen to
Sonia.
This episode. Yes,
oh my God. We
best.
Need like a redo trip.
We need a reunion.
Yes. I mean, and that's why I relate so hard to everything you say, because you are one of the very few fitness and health accounts that like truly is unfiltered, is lives in the middle space where like the magic fucking happens. Like, you're not over in the minutia of here or there. It's so fucking relatable. It's so valuable content and advice. And like, every time I get on, I'm just like, fuck yes, Crystal. Yes, bitch. I needed to hear that today. I love you. Eat the fucking buns, everybody. Yay.
Eat them. Well, I can't think of a better way to close the episode, so I'm just going to let you do it with that. So for everybody who tuned in, hope you guys enjoyed this one. Again, Christina, we'll be both seeing more of you on our page and can't wait to share this with everybody. You are amazing and I absolutely love you. And for everybody who joined in today from wherever you are listening from, we hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.